Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence among us today, all of you in person and those of you joining us online. I have just a couple of announcements. One, the hymn of the day is mistyped in the bulletin. It's actually hymn 379. So when you get to the hymn of the day, 379. Tomorrow night, Lutheran Men in Mission, the Brotherhood, they're meeting at 6:30. This week, I will be going on vacation, and so if you have an emergency or if there's anything that you need, please reach out to our Council President, Neil Clark, and if there's anything that he needs to let me know of or make me aware of, he can do that. And in that note, Joe Davis will be preaching next Sunday and presiding at the table. I have a couple of cards to read. From Latifa, thank you for all of the cards, texts, and phone calls. I hope I will be back soon. Amazon and Hobby Lobby will miss me, but Lynn will be glad to know there are not any packages to bring in. Thank you for the beautiful prayer shawl, your sister in Christ, Latifa. And then a beautiful card with Gary on the front from the Hedrick family. We want to thank our Holly Grove family for all of the texts, visits, cards, food, prayer shawls, and most of all the love we have received from you during Gary's recent illness and death. Gary's years at Holly Grove as Brotherhood member, Sunday school teacher, youth leader, and council member were years that he loved and cherished. He loved everyone at Holly Grove and enjoyed worshiping God with his church family. Please know that you were all dear to his heart and are to ours now. Love, Paula, Tina, Jonathan, and families. We have a couple of birthdays this week. Debbie Parsons and Robbie Heilman. Jonathan and Tina Hedrick, and Todd and Lori Conrad have anniversaries this week. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Are there any other announcements that need to be lifted up for the body today? Yes, on May 16th, Monday, May 16th, Agape is hosting a women's banquet. It'll be at 6:30. The cost is $10. We're going to have some forms for you to fill out to submit with your payment when the time comes, probably next Sunday. There was a little more to do this week than I could get done. So those forms will be available for you, but the banquet will be May 16th, and we hope that you will bring your friends and family. The deadline to sign up will be May 8th. Anything else? Then let us prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Alleluia! Christ is risen. In the waters of baptism, we have passed over from death to life with Jesus Christ, and we are a new creation. For this saving mystery and for the water, let us bless God who was, who is, and who is to come. We thank you, God, for your river of life flowing freely from your throne, through the earth, through the city, through every living thing. You rescued Noah and his family from the flood. You opened wide the sea for the Israelites. Now in these waters, you flood us with mercy, and our sin is drowned forever. You open the gate of righteousness, and we pass safely through. In Jesus Christ, you calm and trouble the waters. You nourish us and enclose us in safety. You call us forth and you send us out. In lush and barren places, you are with us. You have become our salvation. Now breathe upon this water and awaken your church once more. Claim us as your beloved and holy people. Quench our thirst, cleanse our hearts, wipe away every tear. To you, our beginning and end, our shepherd and lamb, be honor, glory, praise, and thanksgiving, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you. the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Let us pray. O God of life, you reach out to us amid our fears with the wounded hands of your risen Son. By your Spirit's breath, revive our faith in your mercy and strengthen us to be the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The first lesson is from the fifth chapter of Acts. When they had brought the apostles, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us say responsively Psalm 118. The Lord is my strength and my song.
And has become my salvation.
Shouts of rejoicing and salvation echo in the tents of the righteous.
The right hand of the Lord has salved me.
The right hand of the Lord is exalted. I shall not die, but live.
And declare the words of the Lord.
The Lord indeed punished me sorely,
but did not put
me to death. Open for me the gates of righteousness.
I will enter them against the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord.
Here the righteous
may enter. I give thanks to you, for you have answered me. The stone that the builders rejected
has become the chief cornerstone.
By the Lord has this been done.
It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Hosanna, O Lord, save us.
We pray to you, Lord, prosper our days.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. The Lord is God and has given us light.
Form a procession with branches up to the corners of the altar.
You are my God, and I will thank you.
You are my God, and I will exalt you.
Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good.
God's mercy endures forever.
The second reading is from the first chapter of Revelation. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom, priest serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and on his account all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 20th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Yes, of course you can sit by me. Good morning. I'm so glad to see you. I love it when you guys are in town and get to come to church. How are you doing?
Good.
Have you had a good spring break?
Yeah.
What have you been up to?
Going to the new place.
Are we going to go to my mom for my birthday, but I don't want to.
Oh, you don't want to? Maybe you can talk to your parents about that, huh? Well, I heard you've been in town to celebrate your granddaddy's birthday. And did
Papa's.
You... Papa's birthday?
Papa's.
Papa's birthday. Happy birthday, Papa. Have you gotten to have any Easter celebrations?
I had an Easter party at school.
We did an Easter party at Bellwell. And guess what?
What?
We only had to get 22 eggs.
22 eggs?
And I had an Easter party.
You had an Easter party at school?
Even me too.
You too? Nice. Well, there's something about Easter that I want to talk to you about this morning. You know, so often we think of Easter as one day only, Easter Sunday. But did you know in the church's calendar, Easter lasts for 50 days?
What?
I know.
That's long.
It is a long time.
Today into Monday.
It's, this is a little handout that I want to give to you, and we'll put it in the back if any of the grown-ups want to read it. But the 50 days of Easter in our church's calendar, The 50 days in our church's calendar, it's called Eastertide. So we have Easter Sunday, and that's the big, big Sunday, right?
Yeah.
But then we have 50 whole days where we get to celebrate Easter. And so we have a different kind of calendar in the church because we have a different story to tell, right? We get to tell the story about God's love for us and how God shows us God's love through Jesus. And what we celebrate in Eastertide for 50 days is Jesus' resurrection, where he rose from the dead and he defeated death and he triumphed over death forever. And that's a big thing to celebrate, and it's really kind of a hard thing to even understand. And so I think that we have 50 days of Easter because it's such a big thing to understand and comprehend that we need a lot of days. It's more than we think about and process in just one day. So this little handout here shows you all the different Sundays.
Wait, what's that?
That's 50 days after Easter, and that day is called Pentecost. And Pentecost is a really special Sunday in the church too, because that's the day we celebrate the Holy Spirit coming to all people. After Jesus went back to heaven, he sent us the Holy Spirit, and so on Pentecost, we celebrate that. So Eastertide, those 50 days, starts with Easter Sunday, and it ends with Pentecost. And then all of these Sundays in between, we read stories about Jesus coming back to visit his disciples and all of the things that he did.
We already talked about those.
You already talked about those?
Yeah. In our church.
You talked about it in your church? I'm so glad that, one, you remember that, and two, that you talked about it. But
it's made out of a church?
Made out of a church?
Yeah, my new
church. Actually, was made out of like a church and like a school building.
Oh, interesting. So your new church is a church made out of a school building.
No. Like, had like a school building, and then like many years ago, like a big church just like.
What are those? What's up?
Are you pointing to the cross or to the windows back there?
We're trying to make the windows.
Oh, those are some stained glass windows. And stained glass windows are in lots of churches because before a lot of people could read, they could look at the pictures on the stained glass windows, and the stained glass windows helped people to learn the story about God and God's love.
I know you closed that one.
That window is closed. Yeah, it's actually been closed as long as I've been here. One of these days I should go over there and just open it and see what the view is like. Yeah, do you have any other questions about?
You could take all the doors off.
Yeah, all those are open. They help give us some bright light in here.
What?
Well, would you like to pray with me? Okay, you repeat after me. Good morning, God.
Thank you for today.
And thank you for each other.
Thank you for Jesus
and his love for us.
And during these 50 days,
help us to tell the story of Jesus' love for us. Amen. Thank you for coming up. Absolutely, you can take that. Good job, Katie and George. You're doing a beautiful job with these boys. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's hard to believe that Easter Sunday was already a week ago. Here we are, post-Lent, post-crucifixion, post-resurrection. Our Easter outfits are hung back up in the closet. Most of the leftovers, if not all of them, from our Easter lunch are gone. Any Easter decorations that we've had out are probably put away. And the saddest part for me, all of the Reese peanut butter eggs are gone. So I guess all signs point to the fact that Easter Sunday is over. But Eastertide is just beginning. So with those sweet, sweet boys, I talked about the fact that for us in the church, we live by a different calendar because we have a different story to tell. And we have a different story to live. For us, Easter is not just a one-day celebration. For us in the church, as the body of Christ, Easter is more than all of the things other than the resurrection that Easter has become. For us, Easter is the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord. And one day is not enough to celebrate this great mystery of our faith. We need an entire season to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus and ponder what that means for our lives and for the world. So in the church's calendar, the season of Easter is called Eastertide. It lasts for 50 days, 8 Sundays, 7 weeks. Eastertide is a season that is longer than Lent. And I think that's lovely because the implications of the resurrection are so significant, so transformative, so life-changing that we need longer than just one day to explore the mystery of the resurrection. And so as we do just that, today we turn to John 20. At the sunrise service last Sunday, we read the first few verses of John 20. about the empty tomb and Jesus appearing to Mary Magdalene there. The 13 verses that we read today begin later that night, so the night of Easter. The disciples were together behind locked doors because they were afraid of the leaders who had plotted to kill Jesus, and that those same leaders might want to kill them. As our resurrected Lord, the first thing that Jesus did was visit every single person that had been hurt or traumatized by the events of the crucifixion. He sought them out to help them come back from what they had experienced, to help them make sense of what they had seen and witnessed, and to help them understand that they were living in a new reality. Jesus was loving and gentle in each encounter. He created a conversation for each person that was exactly what that person needed. Mary Magdalene, the travelers on the road to Emmaus, Peter on the beach, the disciples in this story, and Thomas. For centuries, Thomas has been misinterpreted and mistyped as doubting Thomas. That is not the case at all. The truth is, he wasn't seeking out anything more than what the other disciples had already experienced, to see the resurrected Jesus with his own eyes. Now, we don't know why Thomas wasn't with the other disciples the evening of Easter in that locked room. But what we do know is that Jesus came back a week later just for Thomas. With deep love and compassion, Jesus created a conversation with Thomas, giving him exactly what he needed. Jesus invited him to touch his wounds. And although scripture doesn't tell us exactly whether or not he did, we do know that he proclaimed in great faith, "My Lord and my God." I think it's deeply significant that Jesus went to his disciples with the wounds of the crucifixion still in his hands and his side. The resurrection did not undo the scars of his suffering. His scars were not blotted out by the resurrection. In so many ways, this is incomprehensible for us because we live in a culture that puts so much of an emphasis on perfect bodies. There's so much cultural and societal pressure on bodies, especially for girls and women. I read an article just this week that said now, even at the age of 6, girls are questioning their bodies and wondering about their weight. There is so much pressure on women and girls in our culture. Any ounce of fat is stigmatized. The slightest imperfection is criticized and condemned. Even the parts of our bodies that bear the reality of what it means to be human are shunned, and we feel the pressure to hide them. The dark circles of fatigue under our eyes are covered up with concealer so that we can't see them. And any gray hairs that we have, we color them or highlight them. Or the curves of our bodies, we stuff them into foundations and undergarments to give us a more acceptable shape. We try to cover up so much of what makes our bodies human. And so often, too often, we feel judgment and shame for our bodies being and doing exactly what God created them to do. Not only did God call bodies good in Genesis when God created them, but God knit us together in the womb and calls our bodies good. And not only that, God took on a body a human body in Christ Jesus. God was willing to grow inside of a human body. And in Christ, God didn't just inhabit a body, a human body, for 33 years on earth. Jesus Christ took on flesh for all eternity. Because the risen Christ is and always will be Jesus of Nazareth. The risen Christ is the same one whose body was nourished by his mother, both in the womb and at her breast. The risen Christ is the same one who skinned his knees growing up. The risen Christ is the same one who went through puberty, who ate like us and drank like us and slept like us. Jesus sweated and sneezed like us. He had calloused feet from walking countless miles throughout his 3 years of earthly ministry. The risen Christ is the same one who, even before his hands were pierced with nails, had calloused hands of the carpenter and the carpentry work that he did. Jesus had and will always now have a human body. And when he appears in today's text, it's the holes in his hand and in his side that prove to his disciples that it was truly him, their friend and their rabbi. Because Jesus' body is essential to who he was and who he is, our resurrected Lord will forever be recognizable as the crucified one. The resurrection doesn't mean that a new person or a new body was created. No, Jesus is the same person who bears the marks of his suffering on his resurrected body. Each week when we say the Apostles' Creed, we proclaim our faith saying we believe in the resurrection of the body. We believe that this is the truth of our faith. We believe that Christ's body was resurrected from the dead, and we believe that God will resurrect our bodies from the dead as well. Christ, our resurrected Lord, shows us and teaches us that there is beauty in a broken body, and that wholeness does not depend on human perfection. When we sing "Crown Him with Many Crowns," there's part of a verse that says, "Behold his hands and side, those wounds yet visible, in beauty glorified." Jesus teaches us and shows us that wholeness does not depend on human perfection. And just as Christ returned to his disciples to meet them where they were those days post-resurrection and give them exactly what they needed, he kept showing up, even behind locked doors. And Christ keeps showing up for us as well, in the bread and in the wine that we partake in Holy Communion. As Lutherans, we believe that the presence of Jesus is in and with and under the bread and wine. When we take into our broken bodies the broken body of Christ that was given for us and the blood of Christ that was shed for us, his presence literally enters our bodies. And as we digest it like nutrients in a food, our bodies absorb it. And Christ's presence enters every single cell of our bodies. And his body and his blood strengthen us and keep us in his grace so that we can be sent out into the world to be his body and his love in the world. Now, when we come to communion, it's not his unwounded body or his body without the scars of his earthly existence that we take into ours. It's his broken body, the body that experienced indescribable suffering. So, brothers and sisters, as we are sitting on this other side of Easter Sunday, just beginning our journey through Eastertide, maybe we have pains as deep and emotions as big as the disciples had after Jesus' resurrection. Maybe we're sitting with fears or doubts, uncertainty or confusion or anxiety. Whatever we are experiencing, wherever we are, Christ keeps showing up for us as well, offering us his very presence and his broken body. As we journey toward Eastertide, through Eastertide these next few weeks, as we ponder and live into the mystery of the resurrection, Christ is present with us. Our resurrected Lord is here with us now in our ordinary lives and in the most human of places, especially our bodies. Amen.
Living together in trust and hope, let us confess our faith with the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through whom all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father.
Alive in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, we bring our prayers before God, who promises to hear us and answer in steadfast love. Holy One, who acts righteously, equip your church as witnesses of your goodness to go and tell others of your abundant love, that they may believe that Jesus is our salvation and life. Lord, in your mercy, renew your people's commitment to use resources responsibly and to live well with your creation. Invite us to recognize and nurture signs of resurrection life in the natural world. Lord, in your mercy, direct those who are given human authority to lead with humility and compassion. By your Holy Spirit, channel their attention towards serving those who are most in need. Lord, in your mercy. Whenever people are overcome by fear of death, breathe into them your life and peace. Uphold your children who cry out to you, especially the family of Gary Hedrick, Dean, Teresa, Jean, Gary and Judy, Bill, John, Mike, Latifa, Sandra, Jana, Carrie, Joe, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips and silently in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Inspire those who lead your people in worship and praise. With joyful motion and sound, send us forth with praise that we cannot keep to ourselves. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Give us the words of your saints who boldly confessed your Son as Lord and God. With Jesus, our leader, empower us to live according to his ways. Lord, in your mercy.
Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your abundant mercy and love. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share God's peace with those around you. Peace.
Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love, through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with the earth and sea and all their creatures, with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The risen Christ dwells here. Come, all who are hungry, and all who are thirsty.
Thank you.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and the blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Go in peace. Share the good news. Alleluia.